you have a choice. We're 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. Hi there. It is 2:32. I'm Mary Lynn.
Good afternoon. Sunny in 86. I'm Diane Ducey.
And, you know, we've been connecting about Casey Anthony, the trial, and, you know, a lot of people have been criticizing the jurors because of the verdict that came out. There's the one alternate juror said there just wasn't any evidence. And that seemed to be the problem with the case all along. It's just the difficulty in getting that forensic evidence.
That's right.
And so I just wanted to try and understand this process a little bit more about what a crime scene investigator goes through when they're investigating a crime scene. And so we are thrilled to have a wonderful guest on with us. This is Trooper Dwayne Morris. How are you, Dwayne?
I'm doing good, Mary. Thank you.
Dwayne is a member of the Illinois State Police Crime Scene Investigator Team. And Dwayne, you've been with the Illinois State Police for 15 years.
Yes, ma'am.
You've been a crime scene service with the Crime Scene Services Command for 10 years.
Yes, ma'am.
And our Illinois Crime Scene Unit is the first in the world to be ISO accredited. What does that mean?
ISO is the International Standards Organization. They're a group that accredits different forensic services, lab systems. Again, we're the first crime scene, standalone crime scene unit in the world to be accredited.
Okay. Well, congratulations. When did that accreditation happen?
2 years ago.
And what did you guys do that got you that accreditation? Is it that you've just been so right on all the time? What got that for you?
Now, basically, what ISO does is you have to set standards, and you have to maintain those standards.
Okay.
They check to see that you do what you say and that you say what you do.
Okay. And so now, you know, you've been with the state police for 15 years and for 10 years with the Crime Scene Services Command. What made you want to go into the CSI area?
Well, when I came to the crime scene unit, it was prior to the television show CSI and the interest in crime scene. A good friend of mine was a crime scene investigator, and he influenced me a lot. He passed away, and I applied for his position.
So a mentor, huh?
Yes.
And as a crime scene, you mentioned CSI. Being a true crime scene investigator, it's nothing like the TV show.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. I'm sure it's still very interesting. It's a very integral part whenever there's a crime, because you guys, ultimately, a lot of times, the things that you guys find are the ones that is the information that gets used in a courtroom.
Yes, that's true. In the television show like CSI, you have actors that take on the role of about 15 different forensic specialists, from forensic scientists to crime scene investigators to coroners to investigating officers to pathologists. It's entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
They solve crimes in less than an hour with commercials. The real world just isn't that way. It's much more detailed than that.
So let's try to break it down so that we can understand what you go through when you're investigating a crime scene. And let's just go to the simplest thing. So there's a crime scene and you need to find fingerprints.
Okay.
So what do you do when you're in that situation, Trooper Morris?
Okay. First of all, there are three different types of fingerprint evidence. There's what's called latent, patent, and plastic prints. A latent print, by definition, is a fingerprint that you cannot see. Imagine touching a piece of wood or something where you would leave a print that you cannot see.
Okay.
That would be a latent print. A patent print, I have two daughters, and if you were to go into their bathroom, you would see fingerprints all over their mirror. I don't know their need to touch the mirror, but it's true that they're there.
Okay.
That would be a patent print. It's a print visible with the naked eye.
Okay.
And lastly would be a plastic print. A plastic print is a print that's three-dimensional. It's in another medium. It could be in mud, butter, blood. It's actually in another surface. And how we identify and collect those types of print evidence is much different from each other.
Wow. And how would you even know? So, you know, the latent, patent, and plastic. So let's say, how do you even know that you're looking for one? Or do you just assume that there might be? Let's say there's blood at the crime scene.
Okay.
Is there something that you do no matter what, just to try and find, you know, one of those unseen fingerprints?
Well, I'll give you a good example for, okay. for Leighton Prince. Would if your vehicle were stolen, I hope that doesn't happen.
Okay.
But if your vehicle were stolen and recovered somewhere other than where you had left it, and you reported it to the police, and the police agency that you reported to requested state police support, Crime Scene Services Command come out and assist by processing that vehicle for physical evidence.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we would look for is latent prints. We would look in areas of the vehicle where a perpetrator would likely touch.
Mm-hmm.
It could be door handles, the door post, windows. It could be the rearview mirror, the male portion of the seatbelt buckle. We would look in areas where a person would likely touch. And fingerprints, the majority of a fingerprint is moisture. So anything that could affect moisture could affect a fingerprint. That could be time, temperature, humidity,
okay.
The elements. So we take all this into account when we're looking for print evidence.
And so when on the CSI shows, you always see them dusting, or they've got these like infrared or what do you call it, black lights or something, and then suddenly you see a print. Is okay. that the way it is for you guys?
Believe it or not, a lot of what they do, we do.
Okay.
We do use powders, various powders, to locate prints with fiberglass brushes, or we can use magnetic powders. We can use chemical process. We can use an alternate light source, what you'd previously described as a black light.
Okay.
There are many different ways to locate latent prints. Depending on what type of crime that we're working, would definitely depend on the type of resources that we would commit to processing that scene.
Okay. And if you're just tuning in, we're talking with Trooper Dwayne Morris, and he's an Illinois State Police crime scene investigator, been with the Crime Scene Services Command for 10 years. And I guess one thing that's kind of frustrating with the Casey Anthony trial for us is that it just there never seemed to be any fingerprints on any of the evidence that the prosecution had. Now, I know you can't comment on a specific case, but have you ever come to a crime scene and just came up empty with fingerprints?
Certainly. There's lots of reasons why you might not come up with fingerprints at a specific scene. Again, anything that affects moisture can affect your latent prints.
Hmm.
Also, criminals are more educated today than they've been in the past. A lot are wearing gloves or other materials to prevent leaving that type of physical evidence.
Hmm. And so then what do you do? Then are you looking for fibers, hairs? You're just looking for anything and everything at, obviously, you have to try to find something else if you can't get a fingerprint.
But there's a whole multitude of physical evidence that we look for when we examine a crime scene. It could be latent prints, forensic biology and DNA, footwear, tire tracks, tool marks, firearm evidence, trace evidence, toxicology, drug chemistry. There's a wide variety of the types of evidence that we would look for case-specific to each crime scene that we go to.
And so, yeah, you could spend a long time at a crime scene, couldn't you?
We do. The truth is we do. On television shows like CSI, it's entertainment. People can sit down and watch it for an hour and feel good about the forensic science community. Mm-hmm. In reality, there have been scenes that we work for days.
Wow.
At a time.
I can imagine. And, of course, I guess it would depend if it's indoor, outdoor. If it's outdoor and, you know, we're in central Illinois, east central Illinois, and a storm could be coming through, then sometimes you might have to, you guys have to hurry it up and try and get it done before the rain.
We try to account for weather and other effects. We try not to rush ourselves. We would prefer to account for the weather and erect tents or other means to protect the physical evidence from the elements.
And I'm such a klutz. I could never be in the in your crime scene investigator unit because I would probably step on the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be, no, don't step there. Mm-hmm. And that's what I would do. Because it probably is that careful, isn't it?
Well, certainly. We definitely would limit the access to. We don't allow everyone into our crime scenes. We prevent contamination that way.
I gotcha. Well, this is just fascinating. I could talk to you probably for an hour, Dwayne, just trying to understand better what you guys do. It is summer, and I know that we've got some kids listening. What would you recommend to any kids out there who might want to do what you do?
I would recommend that they seek an education in science, biology, chemistry, some physical science. Look at possibly becoming a police officer. For the Illinois State Police, you first have to be a trooper to become a crime scene investigator, so I would encourage that route. We're always looking for well-educated, motivated people to come to the ISP, and we would recommend that they apply themselves.
All right. Well, we want to thank you for your time today and for enlightening us in the world of crime scene investigation. And congratulations again to your unit being the first in the world to be ISO accredited.
All right. Thank you very much.
And you have a wonderful day.
You too.
All right. There we go. And that's Trooper Dwayne Morris.
Cool.
The Illinois State Police.
I like
interesting
that.
Stuff,
yeah.
Huh?
93.5, 95.3. The new Connect FM.